the Business on RTE Radio 1 with AIB. You see it, we help you do it. AIB, for the life you're after.
Now, from media to something a lot more traditional. This weekend, there will be lots of barons beaten and pipes played all over the country and across the world. So, how is our traditional music scene faring? Is it still hitting the right notes in terms of popularity and profits? Shifra Mulqueen has been finding out.
When I play music, I am unaware of the audience, but I do feel their energy. My eyes are usually closed and I'm in a different place. It's hard to explain. And there's nothing on this earth like the moment of being in that place. That's why musicians and singers in their 80s are still trotting out on the boards all over the world, because they can't stop the high they get from performing. And when you're in a session, when you're playing, your minds meld. And time doesn't exist anymore. You're floating on a stream. You're weaving a line through an imagined world, really. It's nirvana.
Composer Padraig O'Riordan is the son of Sean O'Riordan, a key figure in the revival of the Irish trad scene in the 1960s.
Traditional music was regarded as something not to be proud of, really. Musicians would hide their instruments. They weren't allowed to play in pubs, generally. And the appropriate music was regarded as the kind of dance band music that was evolving then in the halls. And our house was a house where actors and poets and musicians congregated and politicians. My parents used to have a party every Saturday evening, I think it was, in the house. You would know who could turn up. Thomas Kinsler, John Montague and Seamus Heaney. Seamus Heaney was a younger generation. They weren't famous at that stage. There would be lots of laughter and lots of music. By the end of the 50s, my father arrived then with Misha Éire, and people began to feel the spiritual thing of being Irish. The band would have rehearsals and so on, and obviously as kids running around, we'd be very aware of the instruments and of the musicians. And my father said to us, go around the house and see if you can find anything that'll make a noise. I had a green bottle, and we found a biscuit tin cover, a USA box of biscuits tin cover. And you can hear that in that song, Ding Dong Dethero. Ding Dong Dethero,
Ding Dong Dethero. Over 60 years later, and the Irish traditional music scene is stronger than ever. Flakiol na hÉireann and Kiultas events alone generate 110 million for the Irish economy each year.
When I was a kid, there was only six pipers in the country I could name. Now, you couldn't throw a stone without hitting a piper. There was, last count, was 35 or 36,000 pipers around the world. Now there's umpteen pipe sets makers and flute makers and concertina makers and harp makers and all that stuff.
Because Seanos is so personal, your body responds to music in certain ways. So it could be that your shoulders move. Your fingers, even, like, there's some dancers who have their hands by their sides, their fingers tap their legs as they're dancing as well. The dhríocht is in the body, not just the feet.
Edwina Guckian is a Seanos dancer from Leitrim. She's seen an increase in children looking to attend her classes.
The older generation will say to them, oh, your great-grandfather was some fella for knocking sparks. It's lovely to have that connection there, passed on from one generation to the next. As a Seanos dancer, the real power in it is to be able to dance the tune. So that if the musician is playing the tune, that musician can also hear in your feet the tune being played. And that if anyone listening heard the musician stop playing but you kept dancing, that they still hear the tune.
Edwina learned her craft watching visitors dancing at her grandparents' house.
But there's one in particular that sticks out in my mind, and he used to wear his trousers nearly up to his armpits and braces with them, and he only had the one step, barely lifted his feet off the ground. And for me, as a child, looking at him, he looked like he might have been 100, but he probably was only about 50 or 60. He'd shuffle off over to the side, and he had always wore a tweed cap. And when he wanted to go right, he'd turn his cap to the right and head off over that direction. And then when he wanted to go left, he'd turn his hat to the left and head off over that direction. And then at the very end, when he was finished, after keeping his feet absolutely glued to the floor for the whole dance, he'd finish with this big high kick over his head and clap his hands underneath his knees. For me, it's the connection with the musicians. They go very quiet and gentle and subtle, that instantly you can match that. But then you might find another person who might really throw, you know, all what they have at you and drive it. There's one in particular man that plays for me that is from Belmullet, and I always describe dancing with him like dancing with the bull. First of all, you never turn your back on him. I'm always facing him, so I'm ready to move. And when he gives it to you, you're either ready to fight back and challenge him and stand your ground, or else run. He would make you dance if you didn't have a step in your feet.
The thing about the fiddle is it just has so many voices. You know, you draw the bow over the fiddle, and some nights it's as sweet as anything, and other nights it sounds rough. It's like being married to the fiddle in a way.
Co-founder of Alton, Murray Ní Bhuaighne, is doing a sound check ahead of their gig in California this week.
I know for a fact that there's about 7 bands in America at the moment, and we're all playing every night. That shows you the huge demand there is.
Murray says the band makes most of their living gigging outside of Ireland.
Which is sad. Was it Christy Moore who said, "Why go to Adelaide when you can play at Lone?" But Ireland is so small, and people think, sure, we can go down to the bar and hear people fiddling away there, and they don't realise that, you know, we do put an awful lot of thought into our music. Alton have a lot of following here in California, where I am at the moment, Arizona, Alaska, Japan has a huge following. We go there every 2 to 3 years, you know, sell out shows. But they seem to get it, they really do. Many's a night I'd be singing Brí Deog Ní Bhaile, looking at the front row with people with tears down their eyes. They wouldn't know what I was singing, but they loved the whole, the gist of the story, and that it's a love song of unrequited love. And it's incredible that they experience music so deeply.
Meanwhile, founder of the Toyota Kelly band, Kozo Toyota, is practicing for the St. Patrick's Day Parade in Tokyo.
Konnichiwa. Konasatotu. I'm a professional musician. Mainly, I play Irish traditional music, folk flute. It's very strange in Japan.
But how did Kozo fall in love with Irish music?
River dance came to Japan several times. One day, I found the CD at CD shop in Yame House. The CD was recorded by Darvish. And I was very touched, and my hero is Darvish. Happy St. Patrick's Day from Tokyo! Yay!
Kozo Toyota there on the flute, playing out that report from Shifra Mulqueen.